This is WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel and Dennis Halnan of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and Dennis by phone at 860-522-9842 or email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com. Get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here are Eric and Dennis on WTIC News Talk 1080.
We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And Zig couldn't hold on, so he's going to go ahead and hopefully do that Notebook LM test for us and see what comes back with the EULA.
Yeah.
We got a link out there for you. I you guys should use it until they're going to start charging you, because they really need to, because it's really expensive to run these data centers.
Yeah.
But it's a great tool if you ever want to ingest, and you can download, if you want to ingest any law that's ever been written, whether it be from our federal government down to the state government, the access of those files are there. So you can go to Library of Congress, has everything. So if you want to actually, we did some tests, like with the Inflation Reduction Act. It doesn't really do any inflation reduction. You can go ahead and download that, have it read into Notebook LM, and it'll tell you what they did or didn't do versus the name of the act, because that usually is counter to what it actually does.
True.
And so hopefully Zig will get some answers. Now, Carolyn said a caller came in and was too embarrassed to actually ask the question. And of course, on this program, there's no dumb question at all. Don't ever be embarrassed. No. We won't laugh at you. We'll laugh with you.
Oh, definitely.
So feel free to ask anything you'd like, but don't be embarrassed. There's nobody listening. Just 50. Yeah, it's just the three of us, Carolyn and I and Dennis. And we're all just a little family talking together. No one else has any idea what's going on. So feel free to ask your questions. But go ahead, Carolyn. Ask the question for the person too embarrassed to ask.
Yeah, so we had a caller, and they currently have a computer that is running on, drumroll please, Windows 7.
Oof.
So few back from where we're at now,
yeah.
But it's only being used for computer games like Solitaire and to Google stuff, look stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
So no financials, nothing like that.
Okay.
Will the caller be okay without updating? Is the computer still going to be functional? What should they do?
Mm. Well, the answer to the question is yes, the computer will be functional. And no one's attacking their business. This is a home, right? So nobody's going to try to enter their system from that old machine, Dennis, right? So
I wouldn't think so.
So it's a risk, but the risk is not too great if that's all you're doing with it. If it's just a big Solitaire machine.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I wonder if the person could find maybe a high schooler next door and maybe have Linux installed on it, and then you can play Solitaire on that.
But not with a Microsoft version.
Correct.
But have to
Correct.
Be. It'll have to be a different version.
It
of
would
Solitaire.
Be a different. Yeah, it'll be some other, you know, Solitaire program.
Mm-hmm.
But
the risk is low, based on what she says she's.
Oh,
they say they're doing.
The risk scenario, yeah, it's very limited.
Yeah.
So
we'd like you to upgrade, but if you don't have any other reason to, if that's all you're using your computer for,
literally, if that's all you're doing, yeah,
it's a paperweight that actually does Solitaire for you. But then again, computers are becoming. There's some weird things about where the tools that they're supposed to be versus what they are. But hope that helps you. And let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Joyce in Torrington next. What's happening, Joyce?
Hi. Good morning.
Morning.
I had a chuckle over this last conversation you had, because I'm almost at that point too, where I use it for just about nothing but games. However.
Yep.
However, I received through email, Yahoo, a form to fill out by a company, and the form had areas that were grayed out, and I couldn't seem to type in there, so I put it into Word. I put the whole thing into Word.
Yeah.
And I filled in the information that I needed, that they wanted from me.
Mm.
And then I went back, I cut and pasted their email address back into Google email to send it as an attachment.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it went fine. And I mean, I didn't get any notification that it failed. However, for some odd reason, I happened to look, and there it was in draft. It was in the sent file, and it was also in the draft file of my Google account. So I says, oh, okay, I'm not sure. So I resent it, and I watched the second time, and sure enough, it ends up both in the draft folder and also in the sent folder. So I gave up, and I copied it and faxed it over to the company that wanted the information. But I thought, why did this happen, and what did I do wrong, or what happened?
Well, I don't think you did anything wrong.
No.
It could be some sort of delay. If it's both, if it happens to be both, it's some sort of synchronization error. That I'm seeing. Are you seeing anything else, Dennis?
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. Are you using a client program like Outlook or Thunderbird, or are you just in that email account on the web?
I don't know what that means.
Okay. All right. what do you open to get to your email?
Yahoo.
All right, so you're going to yahoo.com?
Browser-based.
A browser.
So.
Okay. All right. Well, that would take the client problem out of it.
The mail client, as
right,
it were.
The email client, because if you were using a program on your computer to send and receive the mail, that then what we're talking about would probably come into play. It would be a syncing issue between that and the email service.
But that can't be the case
no,
when you're in the
because
mail
you're
service.
Actually in the email service itself. So I'm looking at other causes.
Yeah, it's probably nothing you're doing wrong.
The delay, I mean, I kind of Googled to see if I could figure it out myself. Mm-hmm. And Google kind of said something about it going in spurts. In other words, it would not, the whole thing does not go altogether immediately, and there's a delay in sending the whole document. And it was a document of 4 or 5 pages, if that makes any difference.
Well, you could actually have issues if the document's very large, but
yeah,
4 or 5 pages wouldn't be that large.
Not in a Word document, no. No.
So we don't know why it's happening that way. Can you send other emails with attachments, Joyce?
I suppose. I haven't tried it, but...
You probably should test that to see if it happens to be...
Uh-huh.
Yeah, test like sending attaching a picture or something, or just another Word document to somebody else, just to see if it does the same thing.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah, because, I mean, if I didn't happen to notice that my draft number went from 0 to 1, I never would have realized that it went into draft, because I did look into sent, and it was in sent. And then, days later, I see the draft goes from 0 to 1, and I looked at it, and I said, oh, my God, it's the same document.
Well, it could have been, too, that you were you started the document, and then you started it again, and you do have a draft that's sitting there that you haven't done, or you sent another one instead of the draft you thought you were working on. People do get distracted and have multiple things open.
True.
That could be the case.
Well, she went through the same process twice.
Yeah, she did.
And it duplicated the results.
That's
so
true.
I'm thinking that might not be the issue.
Yep, you're right. So try another, just do another test to somebody else, Joyce, just to see if it continues to occur.
Also, send an email to somebody without an attachment. Just have it say, you know, test email with nothing else in the body and see how that goes.
Okay, I send tons of emails. For communications to different people that are in my contacts, and never had any issue them receiving it. However, I don't do attachments from Word as a rule. That or pictures. And I never do attachments. I haven't done it in years. Maybe something.
This Word file that you originally got from somebody?
PDF, actually.
Or a PDF.
Yeah,
okay.
She converted it to Word.
Oh, okay. I was wondering if it came in as a Word document with macros.
Mm.
And
no,
then
it came No,
the recipient
right.
may be rejecting it
right.
because it has macros.
Yeah.
But that there's no way that that's the case here.
Right.
Yeah, no, they sent me the email and
okay.
and their email was an attachment. I opened the attachment and here's this form that they wanted me to fill out. 4 pages of different information.
Yeah.
And the areas in question were grayed out, so I couldn't type right. on the form itself. So I just simply put it in Word.
In Word, right. Yeah. Yeah. I was misremembering how you originally got the document.
It's a puzzle wrapped around an enigma. it should have worked, but if it's all working now. I mean, maybe you inadvertently configured some macro in there, but I can't. I agree
no,
with
no,
that.
No,
it
no,
probably
no.
didn't.
Nobody on the fly is going to create a Word document with a macro because it's always going to interrupt
my
you
wife
when
could.
You try to save it.
Yeah, my wife could.
Well, maybe.
she's not listening.
But it's always going to interrupt you when you save it and ask you if you want to do this.
Oh, okay.
So you would have been confronted with that if gotcha. You had tried it. So.
And maybe, you know what? I probably would have ignored that confrontation. I would have probably said, oh, eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Right.
Do I want or not? Maybe right. maybe that was it.
Yeah,
totally.
Maybe. So we're puzzled. We don't know exactly why, Joyce, but if it's working now for other emails, move on.
Yeah. Okay. Just a curiosity on my part.
Well, we didn't find anything enough to really find the answer for you. Sorry.
Okay. And I'm thinking here, I have another question, but I'll call you back next week.
Okay. Yeah. Because we're coming up against the break. We appreciate that.
Yes. Yes. Talk to you next week.
Right,
thank
Joyce.
You.
You got it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. And with that, she knows how the program works. We will take a quick break. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Everything's been posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. And if you like the show, feel free to subscribe to the podcast. Wherever you get podcasts, wherever you happen to listen to podcasts, you can subscribe to ours. Except Spotify, there's a ticket in for that. We're trying to figure that out. But otherwise, if you subscribe to it or you download the Odyssey app, you can listen to us. Actually, speaking of the Odyssey app, I've tried to listen to the AM side of the Red Sox game, and I'm driving to Boston. Well, we're driving to New Hampshire, right? To go ahead and listen to the game. It is unlistenable on the AM side. But if you bring up the Odyssey app and listen to it there, crystal clear.
Oh, so, great to know.
Yeah, definitely consider using it. It works beautifully. We'll be right back. There we go. It's Labor Day weekend. Ooh. We should be happy about that. All right. And then we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. And then finally, Dennis and I can start enjoying our Labor Day weekend.
Right.
With yard work. No, just kidding. So let's get right to your calls. We're going to go to John in East Longmeadow next. What is happening, John?
Everything's going well here. It's just that I have a couple of questions for you guys, which I think are just going to be a snap for you. They're varied subjects, but they're all, I think, quick fixes with the knowledge you guys have.
All right.
First off, I have a friend who recently received a used Samsung tablet from her mother because her mother got a new one, and she wants to use it herself, set it up. I just want to verify that what I'm thinking is right. I'm going to reset the tablet to a factory fresh and then just go through the signing up the new user. Is that all I have to do?
That's exactly what I would do. Yep.
Nothing special. Okay, that's question one. I'm not going to worry about using my old computer. I'm going to buy a Windows 11. I want a desktop.
Mm-hmm.
And looking around at them, the ones that look more capable and whatever all seem to come with the Windows Pro. Is there any reason I should not bother with Windows Pro and look for the home version, which I've been using for years? And is there any reason to get the Pro?
You can run the Pro at home.
Sure.
It's designed to connect to a domain controller. That's why it's Pro. It's designed to authenticate users.
And it also has certain policy deployment features that are connected with a domain usually, but that can also be run on the machine itself. But that's really the only difference between a pro and home.
Yeah, and pro machines tend to be a little more expensive because they're a little more capable.
Yeah.
Better components. Right. They're hopefully designed to
work better. That's probably why I think those particular computers have the pro, because what you're looking for is among the more capable world of computers, and that's what's going to be there by default in that product line.
It wouldn't be much of a learning experience or anything.
Nope.
Just to,
no, there won't be any visible difference. No, literally you will not know the difference other than what it tells you on the Winver screen.
Okay, got that. An important factor is, can you play solitaire on it?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Okay, and one last question.
We got seconds left.
Okay, I'm getting these screens that say, don't turn off your machine, we're going to take it over, it's call this number and everything. It's happened to me a couple of times in the last 2 weeks.
All right, you've got a
proper shutdown.
You got a browser hijack. We got to help you clear that. Hang on, we'll leave you over to the news, okay? Hang on. We're going to help John, and we got all the lines filled up, and Zig's back. So I'm curious to see what he had with Notebook LM. I'll be right back. All right, we're done paying the bills, and we are back to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, concerns. Every line we have is full.
Woo.
So let's quickly get to John and his browser hijack that's popping up. So, John, you're getting a pop-up that's saying to call this number. That is a scam every time.
Yeah, I realize that.
So, well, Dennis has some ideas as to how to try to clean it out for you.
Well, yeah, I was going to refer you to a tool called ADW Cleaner, which is actually now maintained by Malwarebytes, but it's a very quick cleanup tool that just looks at the browsers on your computer and it cleans them up. It'll take out weird extensions or at least tell you about them. It'll change your settings back to what you originally had, because sometimes these hijacks will alter your specified home page.
Right.
And it'll run pretty quickly and pretty much clean it up. What I would do is I would run it and just accept all of its recommendations, and you should be all right.
Sounds good. If indeed it does come back again, you gave a procedure for what to do. Knowing that it's a problem, what to do when you clear it, but you had your power down, power back up, and check something else, or?
Well, once you clear it, your browser should no longer present it to you anymore.
Yeah.
But I would contend that, are you running OpenDNS?
No, I know. Say that.
I could tell you, Aaron. I could actually have answered your question.
I tried installing it.
There's nothing to install.
Years ago.
I
tried doing it, and I didn't understand the instructions. And I said, well, one day I'm going to do it. Well, right. Probably now's a good time.
Do it. We have to get these things in place, people. You have to run on a filtered DNS. You would think our internet providers that seem to care for us so much, the big incumbents of the world, would by default put you on a DNS service that was going to protect you from this garbage. They don't. And they supposedly sell all sorts of security products all the time. And they bundle it in there and they chuck this and that in there. They say they're helping you.
Well, actually, most of the ISPs will provide you with security software.
But they won't give you the DNS security.
But they won't
give
you the DNS coverage.
Right. Which is the easiest thing to do. So OpenDNS, Cloudflare, they offer these abilities to have a more filtered, more safe. OpenDNS is powered by Cisco and it's still free. And they're not actually wanting anything from you that I can tell. We've never seen anything as far as any marketing or branding or anything they do with this information. They just give you a safer internet. And guess what? You would not have happened, John. You would not have gotten this browser hijack.
I realize that, or I think I understood that, just that I didn't know what I was doing before. Now I'm older and smarter, so I'll know what to do.
Sounds good. All right, John. Good luck. I got to get to more calls.
Thank you.
You got it, sir. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Going to Bill in East Hartford before his ear falls off. You there, Bill?
Yes, I am.
All right. What can we do for you, sir?
I've changed my Windows 10 to Windows 11.
Yes, sir.
I had like a six-year-old computer, one thing I got left to do is the CSM. It says if I disable it, the CSM will fully support Windows Secure Update and Secure Boot. And I'm wondering if I should do that. If I leave it enabled, it says for a better compatibility, enable CSM to fully support non-UEFI driver add-on devices or
we get these calls.
Yeah.
We've had these calls with printer drivers and stuff like that that are not in the CSM, but
right.
We tell you to disable it, I think, right?
Yes, I would.
All right. So. And if something goes wrong, I can I should be able to get back into these bio things and
what can happen is some of the drivers are going to come through and now they'll work because you've disabled the CSM. So if you have this, if the compatibility mode is turned on, the driver is not configured properly, then you get the warning. And we've had these calls before where the printer drivers aren't compatible. So you can turn it off and be fine, Bill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it.
All right.
Never knew a bio before. Now I know a lot of them.
You're into the bias, yes.
Well, because of YouTube, I knew nothing about any of this stuff.
Without YouTube.
I didn't want to buy another new computer if I didn't have to.
Yeah. You turn the TPM on, right?
Yep, and a secure boot, all that, yeah.
Nice job, sir.
There you go.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that's all I had. Thank you very much.
Our pleasure.
I want to hold you up.
All right. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye. All right. Bill's going to go ahead and move on. Let's go to, I think Jeff is on here the longest. Jeff in Middletown, what's up?
Hey there. You were mentioning before the person that had the door stopped to play solitaire, possibly having a high school kid install Linux on it.
Yes, that's what Dennis mentioned.
I said that, yes.
No, but here's something that you also can do. I used to, back in my younger, geekier days, I used to dual boot Windows 2000 and Red Hat. I also, just to play around with it, I installed a thing they used to make called Wine, Windows Emulator.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
And that worked out pretty well.
It does, but I just don't happen to offhand know if Wine will support the Windows Solitaire app. It is available from the Microsoft Store, and I just never happened to have installed any of those Microsoft Store apps using Wine on a Linux machine. I've just never done it, so I can't speak to whether it'll work. It might. Matter of fact, I would think that it should, but you never know.
And he's not talking about a nice Merlot.
No.
What does Wine stand for?
Wine stands for Wine is not an emulator.
Yeah.
Which is not quite true. Because it is an emulator. But I'm not even going to go there.
Yeah. And actually uses its own word within its own an acronym.
Yes, it is a recursive acronym.
That's
the term for
thing.
That. Yep.
Well, I'm going to install some Wine later. I'm going to a cookout. So.
Yeah, man. I'm going to pick up a box myself. So I'm with you. We'll both be installing Wine later. I love that.
And if you want another recursive acronym, GNU.
Hmm.
GNU is not Unix.
Ah. You guys are real geeks, man.
Oh, shit. I'm nerdy, showing.
Yes, nice job. Yes, your pocket pen, your pen pocket protector there is showing.
I got the tape on the glasses and everything.
Yep.
What is the name of the? I cannot think of it to save my life. I'm having a senior moment. What's the name of that emulator that you can emulate? Like 50 different, interfaces. You can do Windows. You can do Apple Mac. You can do various flavors of Linux, Unix, AIX. I cannot think of it to save my life now, but that might also come in handy.
VMware will do that.
Thank you. That's what I couldn't think of.
VMware? Yeah.
Yes.
Also.
That's not free anymore, though.
No. It's very expensive.
Yeah.
What's
I don't have any idea.
There is one.
We'll find
VirtualBox. VirtualBox.
VirtualBox. There you go, Jeff.
Perfect.
All right, sir. Have a good one, sir.
You guys have a great weekend. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, we appreciate it. All right. So he's gonna install some Wine. All right. Let's go on to Cable George in Long Meadow. What's going on, Cable George?
Hey, good morning. You guys are great.
Thanks.
Appreciate everything you do.
It's our pleasure. What's up?
Two quick questions. The first is, I have a probably 5-6-year-old cable modem that I bought to get off the rental rolls of Comcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Motorola MTRLC. I guess that's just a company. Model MG7550. And it works.
Yep.
My question is, should I be using something
newer
and better and faster?
Our default answer would be yes, because most likely the cable company is providing you faster service, whatever you're paying for. And if you just changed out the modem to support that new protocol, the DOCSIS or DOCSIS, however you want to say it, would be how it would interface and give you faster performance. So we'd tell you to update.
Yeah, that particular one is DOCSIS 3.0, and his provider has probably gone to 3.1.
Yeah, and you'll see faster connections.
Yeah, it'll actually work a lot better.
So what would you recommend?
Can you turn down whatever that is there? It sounds like Tron in the background.
The telephone call from a relative.
Sounds like Tron. I love it. So basically, depends on your cable provider. So
he has Comcast.
Okay, so we can put
we can try to find a list of compatible modems for that.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, we'll put that
and on your website?
Yes, sir. ComputerTalkWithTab.com. We'll put it there for you, and you can go ahead and find compatible modem from that list in your area. Like most likely, you go to Staples or Best Buy. They used to have actually modems by internet provider. They would have the Cox modems and the Con. They probably still do. I haven't been to Best Buy in a while.
Okay. All right. That's an alternative as well.
Yep.
Second question real quick. Is there a reason? I've got two HP laptops that I use for different purposes. And is there a reason that I should not upgrade them to Windows 11?
Only if they can't be. So we'd tell you to upgrade them. The most software that is running on Windows 10 will run on Windows 11. We haven't seen any major incompatibilities. So we would tell you, the only reason you wouldn't be able to is if you don't have the TPM module on the laptops and or your processor is older than 8th gen and it won't allow you to. So if you run the little utility that says, can I upgrade? It's pretty accurate. You should consider upgrading it to Windows 11 if you can.
Okay. All right.
All right.
I would say that they're newer than 8th generation. So
great. Yeah, then definitely do it. It's not a big. It's not that even not that painful. Just kick it off, and let it update, and then you'll be at Windows 11. It looks just a little different. It moves the start button from the far left to the middle.
Moving the chair, the deck chairs on the Titanic.
Exactly. That's
all right.
All right. It's a $4 trillion Titanic. That's the only problem. All right, Cable George.
Thanks, guys.
You got it, sir.
Take care.
All right, bye. Yes, Windows 11. It's not that different.
No,
it really isn't. So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Jim and Summers, hang on. We'll get to your calls. Three lines open for you guys. Everything's been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com while we're talking, while we're doing the work. So you don't have to go and guess or Google it. Now when you Google stuff, you're not going to find it anyways. It's going to give you some weird AI answer. You can go to our site, find the actual links. We don't get anything for you doing that. We don't bill you, charge you anything. It's just simply the link so that you can actually know what we're talking about, so you don't end up in some dark corner of the interwebs because you didn't configure OpenDNS like we told you. So we're going to step out for a quick break. We'll be right back. That's what I just said. It's just what I was laid back. You can't listen to Jimmy Buffett unless it's like sunset time. All right. So coming down to the wire here, we're going to get to your calls as fast as we can. And feel free to get online if you want to. 860-522-9842 is the number. Let's go to Jim in Summers next. What's happening, Jim?
Hey, good morning. First of all, leave Jimmy Buffett alone.
Jimmy Buffett's great. Jimmy Buffett's great.
I got it. So two questions. One is on OpenDNS.
Yes.
Is I tried to get that hooked up,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't work. And then I did some research, and now I have to get into my Eero account and put some numbers in there to let it talk to each other back and forth. Is that correct?
Sorta. So you have an Eero, okay. Eero firewall, right?
Correct.
Okay. Or router, as it were.
Right.
You do need to get into the config. If you want to protect your entire network and service for everybody connecting to it, get into your firewall and go to the DHCP settings. And DHCP is the thing that hands out IP addresses to everything on your network.
Yep.
Okay.
And you're going to go into the DHCP settings and you're going to set a range of IPs.
Well, yeah, you're going to put in two IP addresses as your DNS servers that right. are going to be given out. I can't even tell you what they are.
Yes, they're memorized like Bob had it memorized.
208.67.222.222.
Right.
And also 208.67.220.220.
So you put that in the DNS settings of your router, your firewall. And then you set a range. So I would tell you also, while you're in there, let's make some improvements to your network, right? So you can go in there and start the range. Instead of being a 192.168.1 dot type of network, create a different type of network. You can still be 192.168, but be a 4 dot or something other than a 1 dot, because all your companies that you're connecting to, you work with when you work remotely, are the 192.168.1 dot networks. And so when you try to VPN in, you're going to cause issues. So create a 192.168, let's say a 4 dot, and start the IPs that you're going to hand out maybe at 25.
You mean 4 dot, you mean dot, 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 dot?
No, I do not. I mean 192.168.4 dot.
Oh.
And you're going to start at 25, okay? And you're going to go from 25 up. And the beauty of that is that means anything below 25, you can set on your network. So if you have a printer that you know you're going to, you can go to that printer and say, I want you to be a 192.168.4.10. And now nothing is ever going to be handed out by your router that address because you said start at 25. So when I go into your home and I'm going to go get some wine inserted into me at your house and I connect to your network, my phone's going to connect and go, oh, I'm going to be online with Jim and I'm going to get a 192.168.25 address, right? So my phone now is using your Wi-Fi at that address. So you can actually segment your cameras that way if you have any security cameras or anything that you want to set with a fixed IP. Then you can write those IPs down and know that your printer is a 10 forever. So if you did that kind of stuff while you're configuring OpenDNS, you would improve your network.
So do I have to go to every Wi-Fi electronic that I have and do that?
You do not.
No.
Only the devices you want to manage or deal with where you want to know where the IP is. And printing okay. is the most common
yeah.
one.
You're going to want to do it for printers pretty much.
So you'd go into that printer and say, you know what, printer? Since all my devices that come in automatically are going to get a 25 and up, I'm going to give you a 10.
Right.
And then you're going to be able to configure your computers to always look at dot 10 for where they're going to send the print material. Everything's addressed. Think of it as an address like your house address. And the packets, think of them as mail packets, have to know where to go. And all you're doing is addressing that by setting these things. So OpenDNS is going to be those two IP addresses that Dennis gave you. And that's going to be in the DNS settings of the DHCP. You got to go in there. You say that's how what I want to hand out to everybody. Then everybody who walks into your network is going to be in a safer network. They will not be able to go. And then, of course, you can test it. You can go to a browser and go to – there's a setting within OpenDNS. You can actually go check to see if it's configured properly. And I would also I would also tell you to turn off the IPv6. That's just okay. me. Dennis is kind of back and forth on it because you have to configure this for IPv6 to really be secure because your system, your devices will leak out of your network on those IPv6 pathways. So if you don't configure both, and I'm not trying to make your hair hurt, but if you don't configure both,
you're doing a good job.
Yeah, I know. If you don't configure both IPv4 and IPv6, because these things, there's two of them now because we're running out of IPv4 addresses, believe it or not. So you want to protect them both. We have instructions for you to go through this. It's not rocket science. I promise you it's not.
So go to your a website?
Yep, go to computertalkwithtab.com and we will have the instruction linked there for you. And just take a moment and just look at it and then while you're in your ear or router there, make sure the password is changed too while you're at it.
Yeah, do you want my password?
So yes, that'd be great. Can I have your password, yeah. Jim? And what's your IP address?
Okay.
All right.
I'll do that. And the other question I had was about the iPhone 16 issues with Bluetooth.
I don't have one of those to know what's going on.
I don't either.
Did Apple, are you holding it wrong again?
No. So I had this issue where it garbles. And I went on the phone back and forth with corporate because I went to the iPhone store and they were useless.
Oh, no.
So I emailed corporate about my experience. And next thing you know, people are calling me every day. How did it work out? So,
oh, nice.
You
know, at least they care.
If you've got a problem with a store, just email Tim Cook because that's who I emailed. The next thing you know, I got phone calls.
that's great.
Yeah. So, but you know, it's like I can't believe the amount of time that they go through to try and solve your issue instead of just sending you out a phone.
Yeah, so, geeks are like that. They want to solve the problem.
They
We're
really
guilty too.
Fix it. Yeah.
Now, this is with your Bluetooth and your car, right, Jim?
No, Bluetooth for any device.
Oh, boy.
Using my headphones, speaker, my car.
We don't have any answers for you, and we're running out of time on the program. But
well, it sounds like Tim Cook took care of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're sending me a new phone. So
good for you.
Oh, well, there you go.
happy Labor Day. All right, Jim, we got to let you go.
Too.
All right. So Tim Cook's hooking up Jim. Zig called back, but we're not going to get to him. I want to thank Carolyn for producing and thank all you guys for joining us on this Labor Day weekend. We'll talk to you guys next Saturday.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.